It's about making children understand how they should start to stand up for themselves and talk about what's right and what's wrong. And I think unless we start doing it early, it's very difficult for a child to one fine day wake up and say, you know what, there's a problem. So something that we truly believe in is say it early, say it clearly, and say it often.
This is Gautam, and I welcome you to episode 14 of the Learn and Unlearn podcast, where I have a conversation with Aishwarya Kumar Ahmed and Sudhalini Devadasan, founders of Upturn Learning and authors of the book Safe Over Sorry. Join us as we discuss the personal safety of children during early childhood. Welcome, Aishwarya and Sudhalini. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you so much, Gautam. Absolutely.
Thanks, Gautam. It's a pleasure entirely.
To start with, can you please talk about Upturn Learning?
So Sudha and I are two moms who had a great stint in our corporate careers for 15, 20 years. And both of us worked together in the same organization back in 2007. And Sudha, in fact, went off to lead multiple HR teams at a global level, and I happen to work in the learning and development space and consulting space. While both of us enjoyed it, I think somewhere our interest to work with adults was fading out, and our interest to work with adults in the capacity of parents was increasingly, exciting. So we ended up discussing multiple opportunities when both of us became moms. I happened to have my second child around the same time as Sudha's daughter. And when Sudha had her daughter, and that's when we discussed Upturn in multiple ways. And we were initially thinking of a space, we were thinking of multiple other things. And then what we are today is what we happened to coin back in 2018. And Upturn has evolved in multiple ways, but I think our base fundamental philosophies have remained the same. So that's really how Upturn happened, and I'm sure Sudha will be able to talk a bit more about how we brought it to where it is today and our journey over the last 3 years. Sudha?
Sure. So I think for us, when we began, like what Aishu said, it really is that third space, right? And Aishu and I keep talking about it. There's school for children and for parents, and there's work for us as professionals and parents. So what is that space that, you know, we can go to, which is judgment-free, where we can talk about, as parents, we can talk about issues that are important, that are socially responsible, for example, digital responsibility. You know, it's a topic that means so much, and we're all addicted to our phones today. We all work out of WhatsApp and Instagram and Facebook, but that extends to children as well, right? Today, and the last year has been, sadly, all of us have been in front of our devices. So how do we get to be more responsible about it? How do we extend that to security, to just making sure children are watching the right things? We are not constantly watching things that, you know, or tracking or scrolling on our phones. And then as a result, you're just losing hours, you're losing precious time with your family. Would you rather be doing something else? So those were questions we started to ask, and we said, you know, let's create that space. And it is a virtual space, and that's really what we have today. And today we've got more than 1,500 people who are part of our community, and we discuss topics like digital responsibility. We talk about personal safety, which is the second big one. As parents today, we're all, you know, constantly on the edge when it comes to safety of our children, and we both understand that because we were in multinational corporations. You know, safety is, and you know that, right, Gautam? Safety is such a big issue there. Security, where it's just a part of our DNA.
Yes.
And we're always sort of thinking about it. But, you know, when it comes to being a parent, safety means something completely different. And, you know, you wake up one day and you see, you know, you read the newspapers, and it's a scary thought And sometimes we're all living in this bubble thinking, oh, it's not going to happen to us. But that's where we want to talk about issues like this, make people more aware. And I think that's what we can do as educated parents, as people who are responsible adults. We can sort of spread that message. We can be more aware of it and share information. And the idea is to do that in an interactive, in a fun manner, in an engaging manner, because all of these topics are fairly heavy as well, right? So what we do is we collaborate with resources across the world. We bring in experts sometimes, you know, across these topics, and we bring them in. We collaborate with schools, we collaborate with corporates, with parents, with parenting communities. Essentially, wherever we see the need to talk about something like this, we bring them in and we see how we can have intelligent conversations. And that's really what Upturn has become today. So the formats have changed. Obviously, COVID has also made us evolve. But the good thing is that we were able to publish a book. And Safe Over Sorry for us is you know, all that we're going after this year. So, And today's April 1st. It's the beginning of the month of National Prevention of Child Sexual Abuse Awareness. So we're really excited. We've got a lot planned for this month as well.
Very interesting. Can you please talk about the new book that you have launched, Safe Over Sorry?
So Safe Over Sorry is when we began talking about personal safety 2 years ago, we said, you know, it's got to be something that we take to schools, we take, you know, to parents. But how do we do it in an engaging manner? Because it is an important topic, but it's also something that people believe, okay, it's covered in schools today. So, you know, we don't really need to, as parents, talk about it as much. Very few parents actually have these conversations. So we realized that, you know, it is important to have a conversation like this as a parent. It is important to make sure your child is equipped with the right kind of information. So how do we make it, you know, interesting? So we said, okay, let's come up with a workbook that a child between the age of 4 to 7, we started with that age group. So 4 to 7, it's a fun, it's an interactive workbook. It's designed with illustrations, engaging activities, and all of it is age appropriate lessons that children can learn through these activities about personal safety. So the whole idea is that we want to make children more aware. And, you know, if they're ever in a potentially abusive situation, they know what to do to potentially protect themselves, right? So you cannot stop a perpetrator, but at least make sure that you're able to, you know, equip your child. So that is the purpose behind Safe Over Sorry. And it's done in a really interesting manner. It's 4 chapters. So I'm going to tell Aishu to talk more about it.
Sure. So one of the things, apart from what Sudha mentioned, Gautam, is I constantly see parents looking out for gadgets that help them with safety. I think that's fantastic. People are proactive about it. You must have your investments done on that CCTV, a little smartwatch or a GPS tracker for your child. I think all that is fantastic. But sometimes when I sit with my husband and both of us think about our children, we feel that nothing is more important than working on the mindset of the child towards safety first. And then comes your GPS tracker, your devices, your gadgets. All of them are important. But we find the need to have those conversations with the child and work on the child's mindset towards safety, the child's mindset towards first response, you know. So that's really something that's been very dear to our heart. And we said, how can we work on that in a fun way? And the format is a book today. It could be something else tomorrow. It may be a simulation 5 years from now. We never know. But we're very clear that the first approach is to work with the child on the child's mindset and then enable the child with multiple other things. And that's what SOS is intended to do, Gautam.
Very interesting. Can you also talk about the topics that are covered in this book?
the idea was when we thought about the book, we said it's got to be, because of the age group, it has to be simple. But it also has to talk about, you know, topics that they can relate to on an everyday basis. So we've split it into four parts. There are four chapters. The first is safe and unsafe feelings. So these are things that children understand on an everyday basis. They also learn about it in school. But we've tried to connect that with personal safety and, you know, what do they feel when, you know, there's a safe feeling or there's an unsafe feeling, and explaining that to them using, you know, using illustrations, making them identify it themselves. And I think that's where conversations can happen between a parent or a teacher or an educator and a child. So that's the first chapter. The second chapter is recognizing and dealing with inappropriate touches. So basically what today we call safe and unsafe touches. You know, there was a time when people used to say good and bad touch. It's no more the case. We don't call it good and bad touch. It's about safe and unsafe touch and making a child understand what is okay, what is not okay. When should they say no? When should they sort of stand up and go and inform somebody? So when we say inform somebody, the next question is, who is that somebody? So we're talking about, you know, an adult who they trust. So is that a family member? Is that your parent, teacher? So all of that is sort of, you know, brought in when we talk about safe and unsafe touches. That's the second chapter. Then comes the third, which is dealing with strangers. So at this age, children are obviously, we teach our children to be friendly, but we also teach them about, you know, don't talk to anybody, you know, don't take a sweet from a stranger. But we don't really explain the difference between a safe and an unsafe strangers. Many a time when it comes to this particular issue, especially, you know, child sexual abuse is most often, it's found, research has found that it's usually by somebody known to the child. And when we try and explain that to a child, obviously, you know, it's a difficult concept for them to understand, or even for the parent to understand, right? That, you know, somebody within the family can actually abuse a child. But what happens is explaining a safe stranger is about talking about, you know, for example, a policeman. How do you explain that to a child or a teacher, you know, who you don't know, but you meet in school? So how do you go to them? How do you ensure that if you need help, you go to the right people? So at that age, those are the things that matter. And we're keeping it simple so they can understand. And the fourth topic is talking about bullying. Bullying is huge. It happens, unfortunately, everywhere, and it happens early. So it's about making children understand how they should start to stand up for themselves and talk about what's right and what's wrong. And I think unless we start doing it early, it's very difficult for a child to one fine day wake up and say, you know what, there's a problem. So something that we truly believe in is say it early, say it clearly, and say it often. And I think that's really the essence of the entire book. So if you really see, we've started with something simple and sort of slowly taken it to a slightly more complex topic. And that's how we've taken it forward. So the age group is 4 to 7, but we're hoping that, you know, with the next set of books or any other format that we come up with for different age groups, you know, we'll have more more intensive conversations, topics that are perhaps slightly more difficult as well to come in. Yep.
Wonderful. These are much needed topics. Talking about bullying, there seems to be a subtle form of bullying that happens between siblings or between cousins. And I've seen that adults don't take it very seriously. If you have observed such a situation, can you please talk about it?
Sure.
Sure.
So, Gautam, you're very right about it. And I was about to, in fact, ask you a question because you mentioned something very interesting to me early on when we spoke about, you know, having this conversation on your podcast channel. It is right and it is true that sometimes as adults, we just, you know, just go ahead and tell the child, hey, nothing, that's just your brother, or this was just your cousin, what's the big deal? I think trying to be supportive about things is very important. However, that's where training for parents matters a lot. We constantly see that having conversations with parents has been our key strength, and helping them differentiate between what happened in their generation versus what is happening today has been a core topic for us. So we do multiple engagements with corporates, and we've held engagements in various modalities like panel discussions, just interviews, questionnaires, surveys, and we are sometimes quite amazed with the answers that we get from different kinds of parents, different sets of parents. A lot of them have moved forward. They understand that their child's childhood is different from what they went through, and they need to value that. However, there are a lot of parents who think, you know, this happened to me as a child and I'm okay today. That kind of an approach is also there. So to your point, yes, bullying does happen at a very superficial level, sometimes even at home, between siblings, between cousins. And I think there needs to be a bit of a red flag raised if it reaches a certain, crosses a certain border, right? So what language are they using? What is the receiver feeling? What is this person talking about their feelings? Is the child walking up to you and giving you any warning signs? So those are discussions that we must continue to have with parents. And there is no set formula. I think the more conversations we have, the more we explore together. And that's why we believe in community building. Today, even as a special needs mom, I think I learn a lot from other autism moms from a community rather than from just a formal source of education on autism. Similarly, whether it's bullying or unsafe touches or prevention of child sexual abuse, I think conversations as a community is far more powerful than just trying to put a structure to the whole thing all the time.
Absolutely. While it is important to teach children about personal safety, I feel it's also important that we as adults know the long-term and short-term impact in case children go through such experiences. Can you please also talk about the impact on the mind?
Absolutely. I think all these specific points that we just mentioned have a huge impact on the way the child's mind gets shaped right in early days. I think a lot of us today who are adults walking around are actually children with a lot of unmet needs in our childhood, right? We all have unmet childhood issues. We all face them at some point. Some of us face it and cross it over, during teenage, and some of us happen to carry it on for a long time. And that's why Safe Over Sorry is done in collaboration with psychologists. We've had the opportunity to interview, discuss, and work hand in hand with multiple child psychologists who are in our panel. Suda, would you like to elaborate a bit more about how SOS is connected to child psychology?
Sure. I think if you ask parents, right, I think parents tend to, and I'm going to sort of address this in two, three ways. You know, as parents, we tend to give a lot of mixed messages to our children, right? Today in this particular world of child sexual abuse prevention awareness, consent has become a topic that everybody's talking about. Really, what is consent and what does that mean? As children, when it comes to a 5-6-year-old or even younger, right, we tell them, okay, go hug this auntie, go kiss your grandpa, kiss all of that. Those are all things that, today in our culture or in any culture across the world, we do it very, very casually. We don't think much about it. But, sometimes, what tends to happen is children stop feeling comfortable doing things like that. And at that point, we need to understand and we need to be conscious. And it can happen at a different age for every child. It does not have to be only at, we stop doing it at age 10. There is no fixed rule there. the minute your child gives you signals saying he or she is not comfortable doing it, and I think at that stage, we need to understand, we need to look at it and say, you know what, I cannot force my child to do something because something in the child's body is saying, I don't want to do it. So that's what consent is, right? So it's about us as parents being very conscious about it. We don't like doing things when we're forced to. So I think it's the same thing that applies. And when we start to become a little sensitive to topics like this and actually understand, you know, that there is the child knows what he or she is doing. The child can feel it. So let's start having conversations early and explaining it to them. I think it, you know, it becomes easier for a child to process or even for an adult to process, because it's crucial that we don't sort of shy away from it and say, you know what, I'll deal with it later when I think the time is ready, when I think my child is ready to have this conversation. Because very often what happens, even in our culture, right, we tend to sort of believe that this is not something that we should be talking about to young children. You know, maybe we'll talk about it, you know, when we feel they can understand what we're saying. But the thing is, at that point, it might just be too late. And who will that child go and talk to? Who will that child go and say, you know what, somebody touched me, which I'm not comfortable with that touch. Who are they going to tell? Is a parent at that point going to have sit down and listen? Will the child know and believe that, you know what, my mom or dad will trust me? Because they have confused messages coming. So I think that's a direct sort of impact on a child's mental health at that point. And you know, when the child keeps believing that, oh my God, I don't think I have anybody to go talk to. So let me go and figure out if there's some support group online, because, hey, by the way, or there's a friend available. I'll go and talk to a friend who might just give me completely wrong advice. And then, you know, they go and figure out some online group. Then they start trying new things. Take that, you know, two steps ahead. We're talking about teenagers today. Teenagers, we all know, all of us have been through, you know, the phase of growing up. Yeah, has it changed today? Yes, because there's far more information available. So children need to be prepared and children need to know that, you know what, this is something that's going to happen to me. I'm going to have all these thoughts. I'm going to, things are happening around the world. Now, either I want to be part of it actively or I know what's happening and I sort of take a step back and watch and talk to my parents about it. So the question is, you know, do we really want to have those conversations and do we want to sort of sit down and not sort of just get into a mode of reacting to everything when a child comes up and says, I have a problem, or a child comes up and, you know, tells us something that we're not comfortable ourselves as adults listening to. So I think there's a lot to this that has to do with psychology and there's a lot to this that has to do with culture.
Yeah.
Funnily, the more and more we talk about it, you know, it happens everywhere. But I think the more conversations we have, it's important that we change the narrative around this topic.
So one of the child psychologists we were working with, and this is a real life scenario, of course, I'm not naming anyone, but this is so relevant to what we're talking. So there was this child, you know, who has been brought to the psychologist with a huge bite mark on her shoulder, okay? Like all of 6 years old. And this child is not opening up. The parents are trying real hard to probe. Nothing is happening. It's a very big blue bite, you know, on the child's shoulder. And after 12 sessions of being with the psychologist, the 13th session, the child opens up one-on-one to the psychologist. And the child talks about having been abused by her own father's brother who lives with them. Okay. Now, when the psychologist said, you should have just told us, why didn't you tell your mom or dad about it? She said, every time I've even gotten hurt in the park and I go tell my parents ask me, what did you do? You would have done something wrong. That is why this person pushed you or this person did this. What did you do? You know, so it's in our culture to be critical of ourselves before we are of another person, right? So it could be good. It's a good thing to, you know, always make sure that you have fingers pointing on yourself with before you point it on others. You know, those are great things. However, this child remembered that the parents always ask her, what did you do? You tell us first. So her thought process was, if I go say this has happened to me, my parents are going to say, what did you do? Right? So it took her 12 sessions to open up, and it was far out of control by the time the parents had realized. The child was hurt physically. The child was abused beyond imagination. And it was a very close family member. So they were having quite a lot to deal with, just because the child's mind has been conditioned that, you know what, this is what my parents are going to ask me. So can you see the connection between, you know, catching early signs versus making it difficult for ourselves through this kind of conditioning?
It's very important that we have an open conversation with our children.
Right.
Can you please also talk about the future plans of Upturn Learning?
Sure, I think that's something both of us are excited about. Yeah, so you want to take that first?
Yes. I think with the book, Gautam, there's obviously so much scope for us, but let me start with our short-term goal. And when I say short-term, we're talking about the next, you know, 1 year. So our goal is to make sure we are able to reach 10,000 children this year with the book, which means that we want to ensure. So the promise we made and our commitment is, for every book we sell, we will train one underprivileged child on personal safety. So with that in mind, what we want to do is ensure 10,000 children get trained this year before March 2022. So that is step one. We're doing this through corporates, we're doing this through schools, through parents, through storytellers, through illustrators, through anybody who is a parent, anybody who's not a parent but is interested in helping. So we're addressing this in every possible way. So that is one. In terms of next steps for us, I think there's some things that both of us really want to do, which is for the next age group, which is coming up with different formats. What those are, we are still sort of talking through, but we definitely want to have something out there for the next age group, which is 8 to 10. Those are crucial years when they have a lot of questions and they need to understand, you know, this topic very, very well. And then comes the 10 plus. So we're talking about how we can sort of, we can't give them a book because they're not going to sit and read a book about it. So how do we make it interesting for them? So yeah, that's a little bit about our future. Aishu, go ahead.
Yeah, I think Sudha's covered it beautifully. And additionally, what we'd like to do is have this reach different modalities, like, you know, prep. We would love to eventually get funded at some point, work at an augmented reality level on a simulation for children where they get to go through multiple what-if scenarios, clear various levels with a gamified approach towards safety, which can eventually be a certification for parents to take, for children to take, I don't know. But those are things that both of us have our strengths in terms of we've worked in the past as professionals on simulations. We've worked on learning design. We've worked on how a program can be done online. So we'd much rather like to work on it for our own organization, especially for a topic like this. So that's something we would like to do. But yeah, those are our tentative plans for now, Gautam.
Wonderful. I wish you all the best.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Aishwarya and Sudharini.
Thanks
for your time.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for listening. I would love to know your thoughts. You can find all the details in the description section. Let's meet in the next episode.